Well, this morning I'd like to begin with some fishing memories. The first goes back to when I was a boy. And I remember one lazy summer's day taking my box and my rod and hiking to the Oradell Reservoir. And I made it there and I sat beneath the trees which ran down to the water line, and all these years later, I can't tell you whether I caught anything, but I remember the lushness of the trees, the pale blue of the summer afternoon, and the gentle aspect of the water. It's all bound up in gauze. It's a peaceful memory. Different memory from my childhood involves my Uncle Alex, who was a bit of a character. And Alex and his brother Zoltan, I kid you not, that was his name, were Hungarian. And they were both partisans during the Second World War. They followed different paths in life. Zoltan threw in his lot with the communists and stayed in Hungary and became part of the government. Alex found his way into the U.S. Army during the war and made his way to America, where he started a new life that included marrying my father's sister and building a successful career designing and creating furniture. This son of Middle Europa had one deep abiding passion, and that was deep sea fishing. Alex would get up at an insanely early hour of the morning, week in and week out, to go to the boat and head out to the Atlantic. And on some Sundays, he'd come back to our house bearing a bluefish or something else that he had caught. Magnificent creature. And he would skin it, and he would fillet it, and he would prepare it, and he would serve up a wonderful meal for all of us to enjoy. And then more recently, a few years ago, I was present when Chip's grandpa Alan took him to the pond down the road from the family home and introduced him to fishing and taught him how to go about putting the bait on the hook and how to cast the line. They caught the little sunfish and they tossed them back. I was watching my son learn all about catch and release and sustainable practices, but more important, having yet another way to enjoy being in the presence of his beloved grandfather. Three different events in different places at different times, but they all share something in common. They all involve fishing for fun. These were all leisure activities. Now, we know that there is a different kind of fishing, and that is commercial fishing. And it's something that we've had the chance to see over the years, having a house on the North Shore in Massachusetts. We can go to Gloucester. We can drive into town if we want to go to Steve Connell, and we can pick up some fish that was caught that day. And then we can drive further down along Rogers Street, and we can see the fishing trawlers and the boatyard being maintained. The work that's being done on them is for performance and not appearance. And if we continue a little further down the road, we'll come to St. Peter's Square, where each year the big fiesta is kicked off with a blessing of the fleet, a sign of the importance of fishing to the economy and lifeblood of this community, and also a reminder of the dangers of this profession. One then heads further down along the shore, the boulevard, one will finally come to the famous Gloucester fisherman statue, which bears silent testimony and offers witness to those who have gone to sea and perished over the last 400 years. Gloucester reminds us of the dangers and perils and the hard work that is involved in fishing. And it was this kind of life that Simon and Andrew and James and John lived. We read how when Jesus came across them, Simon was out mending the nets. He was taking care of the gear, the tools of the trade. Fishing wasn't just about going out on the water and having fun. It was about working hard and taking risks. And even though the fishermen would learn over the years how to read nature's clues and signs, they didn't always know where the schools of fish would be. And anybody who has ever been out on a large lake fishing knows how quickly the weather can change. And so they lived with that danger. So these were men who were involved in a hard trade, a demanding trade. These were the men that Jesus came to, preaching his word, saying, the time of the Lord is at hand. Repent. Hear the good news. And we hear this story, and we can imagine it all taking place. Possibly because we heard it when we were in Sunday school and we've carried these images with us. Maybe we've seen a painting or a picture and we can envision a young Jesus reaching out, beckoning to Simon. And we see him standing up in the boat, curious, then excited, and then getting out and following Jesus. Now, the practical amongst us may want to call for a timeout in the story at this point. There is Simon, there is Andrew working in the boat, mending the nets. They're part of the family business. And they're just getting up and dropping everything and following this guy. Off they go. Excuse me, gentlemen. You got responsibilities. You got obligations. People are counting on you. What about Dad? What about your colleagues? It didn't matter. As insane as crazy as it was, they heard the word and they could do nothing but respond. Imagine the word of God being that powerful in our lives. That we could do nothing but drop everything and heed it. That's what they did. Now, I could be a little cynical and think, given how hard fishing was, the idea of traipsing about the countryside with a preacher might have seemed pretty attractive. But I think there's something more going on here. And I say that without even knowing how the story is going to unfold. If you listen carefully to the lesson that Kathy read us before, you heard Jesus say that I will make you fish for people. And this is the New Revised Standard Version translation of the Bible. It's been translated different ways in the past. Some of you may recall when this translation was introduced into the church, there was a little bit of a to-do. Because everybody remembered how in the Revised Standard Version, the text said they were fishermen, and then Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And there was this lovely, lovely linguistic device at work here that seemed to be lost in some politically correct quest. But if you go back to the authorized or King James Version, there you will see it says they were fishermen, just as it does in the RSV, and just as it does in the NRSV. But there it says, I will make you fishers. And if you listen carefully, you will notice what the RSV and the King James Version of the Bible have in common that the NRSV does not. Our modern translation says, I will make you fish. Whereas these older translations, more in keeping with the Greek, say, I will make you fishers. In the modern translation, Jesus tells them, you will do something. And in the older one, Jesus says, you will become something. It's not just a nuance of language. There's something existential going on here. We can draw, or we can become artists. We can make a cake, or we can be bakers. I'll lift up our choir. We can sing, or we can be musicians. We can just do something, or we can live into a passion, and adopt a vocation, and respond to the thing that touches our souls and sets our hearts on fire. Jesus offered these first disciples an opportunity to become something. He didn't ask them to offer an oath of allegiance or to confess some proposition. He invited them into a new way of life. We all know that the disciples are going to stumble. They're going to lose their way. They're going to focus on the wrong things. But at this critical moment, they get it right. They hear the word and they drop everything and they rush after Jesus. I did not choose today's reading to go along with the word shared about bylaws and volunteer opportunities in the church. It's the lectionary reading. And we congregationalists can say that this is the hand of providence at work. Laugh! But I say this in all seriousness. We are called to drop everything and serve God. If we're not doing it here in this church, I hope we're doing it somewhere. But we are called not to find excuses, not to worry about conflicts, not to focus on obstacles, but to live in to the kingdom of God. Just think for a moment what it would be like to drop everything and run after God. Just think about it. Yes, I know there would be a lot of people who would be angry as all get out with us. But just think about that. What your life would be like. What my life would be like. Imagine being so excited by what we hear in the gospel that we would want to spend 3 years traveling around with Jesus. Having people roll their eyes at us. Having people threaten us. And then after our teacher was crucified, we would work our way through our fear and our anguish to carry forward the good word. There's a reason I believe that Jesus sought fishermen to be his disciples. He could have gone and found other teachers, charismatic figures in the community, leaders who would have given him instant credibility. I think he chose the fishermen, though, because he was familiar with their way of life, and he knew that these were people who were accustomed to frustration and disappointment, who could be knocked down, but would get up, brush off the dirt, and head forward. He knew that these were persistent people who would persevere. Jesus believes that we can be those people too. Jesus, of course, was not only a teacher. He was not only a healer. Not only the Son of God. Jesus, in his own way, was a fisherman. And we can imagine him trawling along the coast of Galilee, trying to catch disciples. We don't know if Simon was the very first person he ever tried to recruit, or if he was the thousandth and first person he tried to recruit. Jesus could have been striking out all along the coastline. We don't know. But he was trawling. He was trawling. But he was also engaged in catch and release fishing. He would catch the disciples one by one. And then he would catch the crowds who would come to hear him. And he would draw them in and share the word of God's saving love and of a vision for the way the world should be. And then he would release them and send them out into the world. Being a disciple of Jesus did not then, nor does it today, involve sitting at home and engaging in navel gazing. It's not all about just talking to ourselves. But it's about doing things like the community dinner, where we will open our doors and invite people in. It's about things like pastoral care, not only by your pastor, but by the laity, going out and seeing people. It's about engaging in mission projects in the far corners of the earth. My sense is, given the fact that you are here today, you've all been caught. As have I. But Jesus wants to release us. So the question before us this morning and going forward is that, having been let go, what will we do with this freedom in God?